T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good friend of the program, former NFL Pro Bowl linebacker, the great Lorenzo Alexander, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Lo, we're going to bring you right into the conversation. Vince Carter retired yesterday after 22 years in the NBA.
Yeah.
We're talking about the greatest dunkers of all time. Do you put Vince number one? Who do you have up near the top?
Wow. My favorite, I mean, obviously I got to see Vince live, especially when he came to Oakland. Obviously Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, those are probably my top three guys. And obviously because when I was coming at 9, 10, 11, 12, and then high school for Vince, those are the guys that I really remember that stood out to me. And then also, you know, my homeboy, Nate Robinson, that's from the Bay, you know, being
little Nate, baby.
Yeah. You know, being 5'8", 5'9" and being able to rise up the way he does. And obviously representing the Bay, I got to put him up there too, as far as what he's able to accomplish.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Zodich. You put, you know, Michael Jordan. You'd be remiss if you didn't. So I knew that Michael was always at the top of most of all lists. I try to tell Joe and Dibs that all the time. But
we spent too much time, Lo, on Michael Jordan. We just did 5 weeks of celebrating his greatness. Like, can we live? Can we take a couple minutes away from MJ? Talk about some other guys.
No.
Thank you, Zodich. Yes, that's my dog. My man comes right over the top. You just got teabagged. Anyway, when you look at this season, see what's going on there, the NFL is just talking about not having, you know, the Hall of Fame game. Does it give you some concerns that you think that this season is going to start on time, or what gives you a hesitance to think that it will?
Well, I know just from, you know, having conversations that we all want to start at the same time. And obviously when you're playing that Hall of Fame game, you actually have to start sooner than everybody else, you know, a week earlier. And I think with not having a complete understanding of COVID-19 and how things are continuing to shift from week to week, day to day, you want to have some continuity when everybody starts, and that one team may not have to, or two teams wouldn't have to participate in football with a less of a week of knowledge, and also having to deal with the protocols of being quarantined to a week earlier than the rest of the league as well. And so I think it's more about having some conformity, and that everybody has to have the same rules of engagement, you know, lack of a better term, in the midst of this pandemic, and making sure that everybody's safe as possible collectively as we come back to the game.
As we sit a month out from training camp, if you were going to be heading into camp this year, how concerned would you be with the idea that we haven't even hit a, quote, second wave yet, and yet this first wave continues to rage as far as COVID-19 goes?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's always a concern because you're not only putting yourself at risk, but you're also putting your kids, your wife. Some people may have pre-existing conditions. Some people may have parents living with them that aren't able to fight off the virus, maybe as good as somebody that's a little bit younger. And so you have all these concerns that are going through your mind, and you're trying to figure out the best way to proceed forward, because at the end of the day, this is the way you provide for your family. And I think The younger you are in the league, it's probably even a more of an intent of wanting to get back, because you just starting to live your dream. You're just starting to make that money. You know, for me, I know I was undrafted. I needed to be out there playing. I needed to be able to participate, because I hadn't made that big money yet. I didn't have that big contract. So I think just like when you have a CBA negotiation, you're going to have a spectrum of players. You're going to have players along the entire spectrum, guys that feel comfortable. You know, I played my 10. I don't really feel comfortable coming back. And then you're going to also have some guys that just got drafted, first, second year guys up on their contract are saying, man, I got to get back. I have to be able to provide for my family. I have to be able to make this second contract. I want to be able to live my dream. And so it's going to definitely be a, you know, it's just a hard situation. And then you have to also realize what football provides for the community as a whole. And I'm not saying just for fans. I'm just saying about the businesses, the hotels, the supportive staff, everybody that needs this job as well for football to be played. Right. And so I think right now the push is to play. Obviously having the best protocols in place, but there's no perfect solution for this crisis right now. You just have to try to mitigate as best as possible. But I definitely feel like sports needs to be played because of the impact it has on so many different levels in our communities.
Lorenzo Alexander, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. So the Niners were having some players-only workouts in Nashville. Debo Samuel gets hurt. Richie James gets hurt. And naturally, the conversation shifts to Antonio Brown, the free agent wide receiver who, let's face it, he's got a lot of talent, but he brings a lot of baggage as well.
Right.
The Niners, a lot of people feel he could be had for a very cheap contract. So the issue is whether or not you can get him to buy in. What type of locker room does that take? And to follow up on that as well, if you've got a great locker room and you bring a guy like Antonio Brown in and he hasn't, you know, learned from any of his past mistakes and he causes a problem and you cut him, can the locker room pick up the pieces and move on? Or could that be something that just sticks with you throughout the entire season?
No, I mean, I think depending on how strong your locker room, I mean, you saw what happened in New England. They were able to overcome. Obviously, they have, you know, the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback to ever play. But it always comes down to great communication and clarity. And so if I'm Kyle Shanahan, first of all, obviously you're talking with your executive team, your GM, your scouts, your coach, the wide receivers coach, the owner, as far as, okay, what are the risk reward value bringing Antonio Brown in? Okay, we want to bring him in. Okay, then I'm talking to my leadership on our team. Like, do you want this guy to be able to come in and know what do you think you guys can be able to do? All right, you talk to them, it's good. Then I'm talking to Antonio Brown. Hey, this is the situation. These are the rules that we are kind of setting up, the infrastructure that we're going to have for you. Can you abide by this? Because it's all about clear communication. Because oftentimes there's a breakdown in why a player normally, you know, just decides to go AWOL and do his own thing. So you have to be very clear, overly communicative in this instance. And then you have to make sure that you have all the resources set up for Antonio to be able to strive in that community. So, you know, I don't know all of his issues as far as what he's dealing with. But, for example, if it was like a mental health issue, you know, making sure that he has somebody he can talk to in his confinement, or making sure that he has the ability to do it or staying on top of that. Making sure that you're coming to him on a constant basis with coaches, the head coach, making sure everything is going on. And so one little issue doesn't turn into something big, and then maybe a week down the road or a couple of days down the road, something that was very small becomes big, and then it starts, you know, just tearing away at your team or what you want to do. And so that's kind of where I would be at on it, just being overly communicating, making sure the infrastructure is set up for him, because we all know he can still ball out. But at the same time, he's a person, and he's dealt with a lot of things that I think a lot of people don't even know about. Obviously, I don't even know about. And so you have to make sure that he's being honest with you so that you can support him through that, and so that he can obviously go out there, play ball, live his dream, and help your team win. And hopefully you're able to, you know, win a Super Bowl if you had that type of talent on your roster.
Yes, and we had Dante the Hitman Whitner on the show this week, and he said he knows Antonio. He said that he's been working out, been training, still said the guy's in phenomenal shape, can run by people. Last year with the Raiders, even though he didn't play a game, he was running by DBs. And he's in a situation where a hungry dog hunts best, that, you know, you've squandered millions and millions of dollars. And if you can get this guy for the minimum, kind of take people through, you know, take the listeners through the mindset of a guy that is in a situation where he's gone from making $15 million, now he's only going to make $1 million,
right,
and it's going to be incentive-based. How much do you think that will deter some of the behavior?
You know, I mean, I wish I could paint it with a broad stroke and just say, because obviously most guys, when they fall from grace, they're humbled. And Obviously, Hitman would understand that a little bit better than I do by talking to him and working out with him and seeing what he's doing every single day. But if he's just assume that he's humble, that's going to really set his perspective and his intentionality every single day when he shows up to work. And it's not about him no longer. It's really about how he interacts with his teammates, how he's going to help this team win, and you know, the type of attitude that he's going to show up every day. And so now everything that he do becomes outward as far as how he impacts, obviously, the community, the organization, and his teammates versus how can I get mine. And when you're able to set your mind like that, it really doesn't matter what you make, but obviously making the minimum is going to humble you a lot. But if by having this experience of kind of falling out of favor in a lot of different ways, if it's truly humbled him, he's going to come back and be dominant. Because I've talked to guys that actually played with him with Pittsburgh that knew him when he was young, and the humility and the work ethic that he brought every single day was awesome. His personality was infectious. You know, he had a joy about the game. And so that's what hopefully he can get back to, and hopefully has the help and the support around him to help him be able to sustain that. Because football is a stressful game. I don't really care how long you've played or how much money you've made. You go out there and put your body on the line, not perform. You want to win so bad. You know, people pulling at you from the side, family. There's just a lot of things. Just life in general. Right, and so it's really going to come down to whether or not he's been humbled, and then I think the support staff around him to help him cope with the NFL season and maybe some of the struggles that he's had away from the game.
And does it have to be a balance of support staff, coaching staff, and, you know, personal evaluators, and also his peer group in the team? Because, Zoe, you get more than 50 guys together, the coach can only police so much, right? Isn't it more about the teammates and the structure of the room itself?
Yeah, and you know, and obviously on that team, the wide receiver room is, I would say, is fairly young. I'm trying to think of a veteran kind of off the top of my head, and maybe a
Wes
guy
Walker's
or two that
the
maybe
coach
have.
There.
Oh, Marcus, who?
Wes Walker is the coach. You've been played like 15 years. Wes Walker, he's
the
receiver
Wes
coach.
The coach, right? So, and that's even a little different, even though they could probably relate on a lot of levels, but he's going to have to find somebody like that. So he probably respects Wes Walker based on what he's done in his career and who he is. And so if they can build a good relationship to where he can feel open and vulnerable with Wes as far as what's going on, and Wes is obviously very honest with them, he can help keep Antonio, I think, accountable for his actions on a day-to-day basis.
Lorenzo
that's,
Alexander.
That's what it takes.
My bad, Lo. I'm sorry about that. Lorenzo Alexander joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Another name that's been linked to the Niners in a more abstract way is Jet safety Jamal Adams, who wants out of New York. You face the Jets twice a year, but albeit he's on the other side of the field. But I'm sure you're familiar with his talents. Is he that good? Because it would cost high draft picks at the same time as a lot of money, and it's not really the 49ers' MO, but a lot of people like the idea.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's a monster. I mean, he's versatile. I mean, he can do a lot of different things. Obviously, his strength is playing in the box, blitzing. He can cover as well. And so he's not like he's a liability in no regards there. And then he plays with a certain swagger that's infectious and an attitude that's almost annoying when you're playing against him. But that's what makes him great. And so is he worth, you know, X amount of dollars? You know, I don't know. You know, GMs, they value different positions at different levels. And so, obviously, he wants to be paid as the highest defensive player or one of the highest defensive players in the league. Safeties, that position has kind of been devalued in a sense when it comes to that. But the way he makes plays, he definitely owed a big contract. He's definitely, I think, worth a first-round pick. Now it just becomes about, you know, can you sign him, re-sign him? You know, what does that look like logistically for a team? Do you think he's declining, which he's not because he's still very young in his league? And so it's definitely a move that, you know, it's worth looking into, worth having those conversations because he is a game changer and he can help you win games on defense. And obviously the Niners defense is already premier, and you add another guy like that, I mean, you become shut down. And that's what you're looking for, right, when you play a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you have a guy that's on the back end that people are scared of and of getting hit? And he brings that attitude, and maybe that's the X factor in winning the Super Bowl or not. And at this point, I think that's where the Niners, you know, mindset is. Like, we're one game away, or we want a player on defense that can really help us in the passing game or whatever it may be. And I think you're a little bit more willing to pull the trigger on generational talent like that because you know it can possibly take you over the top and win a Super Bowl. And then at that point, you don't really care what it costs because at the end of the day, it's all about winning that trophy.
Great stuff. Former NFL Pro Bowl linebacker, Cal Golden Bear, Oakland Zone, Lorenzo Alexander with us here on 95.7 The Game. Lo, we always love catching up with you, man. Hope the family's doing well. Hope to catch up with you again soon.
All right, brother. Appreciate you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.